My name is Carmen Madrid,
and some friends created with Aeon.
I'm here to help you succeed in your journey to mastering Spanish as a certified DLE examiner accredited by the Instituto Cervantes, a Spanish teacher with 20 years of experience and an expert in preparing students for DLE exam at all levels. I've dedicated my career to supporting Spanish learners just like you. I offer a wide range of services designed to meet your specific needs. So visit my website at deleexam.com for more information. ¡Empezamos!
All right, so today we are diving deep into the world of Spanish proficiency exams.
Okay.
Specifically, the DL and the SIL exams.
Yeah.
And we are going to be looking at two sources that you've shared with us,
right?
A podcast transcript and a blog post, both of which compare these exams.
Okay.
The mission here is to help you figure out which one's right for you.
Sounds good.
So
what's fascinating is that they both kind of have this aim to like certify your Spanish level, but their approaches are very different.
Okay.
And the key here is to understand these differences to make the best decision for your needs.
Okay, so first things first, what are the DLE and SIL exams? What are they exactly?
The Diploma de Español como Lengua Extranjera.
Okay.
That's what DAL stands for.
Got it.
Basically, it's a series of exams, each for a specific level of Spanish proficiency, from A1 for beginners to C2 for mastery.
Got it.
The SILE.
Okay.
The Servicio Internacional de Evaluación de la Lengua Española.
Okay. It's a single exam that covers all levels.
Okay.
With your results showing the level you achieve.
So I like how you said that, because it's almost like the DLE is like you're climbing a ladder and you pick your rung.
Yeah.
Whereas the SIL is more like you're just getting on an elevator and you're going to see where you land.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
And this difference impacts how you approach the exam.
Okay.
With the DLE, you choose your level up front.
Okay.
So you could pass or fail that specific level.
Got it.
With the SIL, it determines your level based on your performance.
Okay.
So you don't need to know your exact level beforehand.
So that's really interesting, because if you're not really sure of what level you are, CLM might be a little less pressure.
Exactly.
But if you're looking to get a specific level,
yes,
like say maybe you need a B2 to get into a certain university,
right,
then DELE is where you can target that very specific level.
Precisely. Now, the format of these exams also differs.
Okay.
The DELE is paper-based.
Okay.
With fixed exam dates throughout the year.
Okay.
The SIL is computer-based.
Got it.
And it's offered through a network of centers worldwide with very flexible scheduling.
Okay.
They even have a remote option where you can take the exam from home.
Wow, taking a Spanish exam in your pajamas, that's got to be a game changer for someone who hates rigid exam centers.
It definitely offers a lot of flexibility, but, you know, for those who prefer that traditional testing environment, the DLE paper format might be more comfortable.
Yeah. I think it really comes down to personal preference.
Exactly.
But what about recognition?
Recognition.
Because, like, what's the point of getting, like, a really good score on an exam if universities and employers aren't even going to like recognize it?
Exactly. You're right. Yep. Recognition is key. The DELE definitely have an edge here. It's much older and it's been recognized by many institutions, companies, and universities worldwide.
Yeah.
And in Spain.
Okay.
It's specifically required for things like citizenship, medical residencies.
Wow.
And professional activities.
So for specific things like that, DLE is the way to go.
Exactly.
Where does SILE stand in terms of recognition?
SILE's recognition is growing.
Okay.
But it hasn't quite reached the level of DLE yet.
Got it.
However, being newer, its recognition is expected to increase over time.
Okay.
But it's always crucial to kind of check the requirements of any institution you're targeting.
Okay. Now, how long do each of these certificates last?
Well, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
The DLE certificates actually have lifetime validity.
Whoa.
So you never have to retake that exam.
Okay.
The SILE certificate is valid for 5 years.
Okay, so that's a huge difference.
Yeah.
Imagine you take the DLE exam once.
Right.
It's valid even decades later if you decide to retire in Spain.
You never have to worry about it again.
Right.
Whereas the SIL, you're going to have to retake it every 5 years, which that can be a hassle.
It is a significant difference.
Yeah.
If you foresee needing proof of your Spanish proficiency later on in the future, the DLE's lifetime validity is a major advantage.
Huge.
But for something more immediate, like a job application,
that
shorter validity of the CL might not be a deal breaker.
Yeah.
Especially because it does have a faster turnaround time for results.
How long does it actually take to get results for each exam?
So with the DLE, it can take up to 2 months.
2 months?
The CL, on the other hand, provides results online within 3 weeks.
Wow. That is that is a big difference.
It is.
I can imagine if you're applying for a job that requires a Spanish certificate.
Yeah.
Waiting 2 months for a DLE result could be a problem.
You could miss the opportunity.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas the CL can give you a real advantage.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got speed versus lifetime validity.
That's another key factor.
That's another thing to consider.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm kind of curious about the dialects. I know that you mentioned.
Right.
DLE is very connected with Spain.
Yes.
Do these exams favor any like particular Spanish accent or regional variation?
Right. You're to pick up on that. Yeah. The DLE, particularly in the lower levels, tends to use the peninsular Spanish dialects from Spain.
Okay.
This means the listening and reading materials will reflect that accent.
Got it.
Whereas the SIL, from the get-go, incorporates a variety of dialects from different Spanish-speaking countries.
So you might have accents from Mexico, Argentina.
Exactly.
Other places.
Yeah.
So if I learn Spanish mainly in Mexico.
Right.
Would the CLE feel more natural or would the DL be so different that I would struggle?
It's a valid concern.
Yeah.
While understanding different dialects is part of language proficiency, familiarity does play a role.
Yeah.
If you've learned Spanish in a specific region, you might find one exam's materials more comfortable than the other.
Okay.
However, both exams aim to assess your overall understanding of Spanish.
Okay.
Regardless of the dialect used.
So it's kind of thinking about where you've learned Spanish.
Right.
And where you might need to use it.
Right.
So if you're applying to a university in Spain.
Exactly.
Maybe the DLE's
focus
on peninsular Spanish is actually a plus.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, while our sources didn't specifically mention it.
Yeah.
Cost is a practical consideration.
Yeah, no, because exam fees can really add up.
Yeah.
Do we have any insight on?
The cost varies depending on the level and location.
Okay.
So your best bet
is
to check the official DLE and CLE websites.
Got it.
For up-to-date pricing in your region.
Okay, good to know. Data. So we've talked about a lot here. We've got exam structure, format recognition, validity dialects, cost we've even talked about.
Right.
How long it takes to get the results.
Exactly.
What stands out to you
as
the most crucial factors someone should consider when choosing between these two exams?
It boils down to individual needs and goals.
Okay.
There's really no one size fits all.
Mm-hmm.
But consider this.
Yeah.
If you need the certificate quickly, CLE's faster turnaround might be appealing.
Gotcha.
But if recognition and lifetime validity are crucial.
Yeah.
DEL has a clear advantage. So really think about what you're using the certificate for.
Got it.
And how soon you need it.
Okay, so we've covered the core differences here.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering
how the exam structures play into actually choosing a level, because with the DLE, you're picking your level up front, which could feel like kind of a high-stakes gamble.
Yeah, because it's like if I think I'm a B2 level, but I want to go for C1 and I don't pass, then I'm just left with nothing. Whereas with CL, I'm just taking it and seeing where I land.
Exactly. And one thing that our sources mentioned is if you're unsure about your level for the DLE, it might be more strategic to actually aim slightly lower.
Okay. So it's better to have that B2 certificate in hand than to risk it all on C1 and end up with nothing.
Precisely.
Kind of like a bird in hand is worth two in the bush.
Exactly. Yeah. Having a DE certificate at any level is valuable.
Okay.
You can always take a higher level exam later.
Got it.
But failing a level could set you back
in
terms of time, money, and confidence.
Okay. That makes total sense.
Yeah.
But how do you even determine which level to aim for?
Right.
There's six of them.
There are.
Are there any resources for accurately assessing your Spanish level?
Our sources highly recommend consulting with a teacher or an accredited examiner.
Got it.
They can assess your skills and give you more personalized guidance on which DLE level is right for you.
So reach out to the experts.
Don't be shy.
They can really help you.
Yeah.
And even if you are leaning towards SI,
right.
I feel like understanding these levels can be really helpful.
Yes.
As a roadmap for your language learning journey.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've tackled levels.
Levels.
Let's go back to format because I think this is really interesting.
Right.
We've got deal paper and pencil.
Yeah.
And then we've got Sile Digital. How does this actually impact like the exam experience?
Yeah, it's a valid point.
Yeah. Because I know that I personally get really nervous in exam halls.
It can influence your performance.
Totally.
The DLE exams usually happen in designated centers.
Okay.
A lot of times schools or universities, which can feel very formal.
Got it.
Sile offers more flexibility.
Okay.
You can choose a testing center.
Okay.
Or, as we mentioned, you can even take it from home.
Imagine taking a Spanish exam in your, like, favorite sweatpants.
Right.
Cup of tea in hand.
Exactly.
That just takes the edge off.
It reduces the stress for some people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But beyond the location, the format itself brings other things into play.
Yeah.
Instead of handwriting answers, you're typing them on the computer.
Now I'm a much faster typer than a writer.
Right.
Does Sile factor in typing speed?
It's an insightful question.
Yeah.
While typing speed isn't assessed,
okay,
it's worth considering.
Okay.
If you're comfortable typing in Spanish,
mm-hmm.
Sile's format could be an advantage.
Got it.
You might find it easier to edit and revise on a computer.
Right.
As opposed to, like, the limits of handwriting.
No more, like, scribbling things out.
Right.
Or trying to cram words into tiny spaces.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you wouldn't have to worry about the examiner understanding your handwriting.
Right.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, some find typing more tiring
okay.
than handwriting.
That's true.
And if you're not used to a Spanish keyboard layout.
Yeah, because I always forget where those accented vowels are. They're always hiding.
Exactly.
So it sounds like knowing your own comfort level.
With technology is really important.
It is.
Okay.
If you're comfortable in digital environments, Sile might be ideal.
Got it.
But if you prefer pen and paper.
Yeah.
Or you get anxious with technology.
Yeah.
Then DLAL's traditional approach might be more your style.
Okay. So it's about playing to your strengths.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, you mentioned flexible scheduling earlier.
Yes.
How does that work in practice?
So with DLA, you're bound to the exam dates that are announced throughout the year.
Okay.
It's like registering for a college course. You have to plan in advance.
Got it.
Hope the date works for your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
CLA is more like booking an appointment.
Okay.
You choose a date and time that suits you.
Okay.
From a range of options at the centers.
Wow. So if I'm a last minute planner.
Right.
Or like a job opportunity pops up and I need to get certified really quickly.
Exactly.
CLA would be amazing.
It would be.
Because I wouldn't have to wait months.
All right.
For the next DELE exam date.
Sile can accommodate those who need to get certified quickly.
Okay.
Or have very busy schedules.
But we talked about how DELE has lifetime validity.
Right.
But then waiting 2 months to get the result.
It could be a nail biter.
That's a long time.
It is.
But wait to find out if you've passed.
It is a long time.
Okay.
So you are right. DELE's lifetime validity does come with a longer waiting period.
Okay.
Up to 2 months, as we've said.
Yeah.
But Sile, on the other hand, delivers the results online within 3 weeks.
3 weeks versus 2 months.
So it's a huge difference.
That is a huge difference. I remember the agony of waiting for exam results.
Right.
Knowing I'd have to wait 2 months would just give me so much anxiety.
It's understandable.
Yeah.
Especially if you're using it for a time-sensitive application.
Yeah.
Sile's speed could be a decisive factor.
So it seems like we've got DELE, peace of mind, with lifetime validity.
Yes.
But you have to wait a while.
You will.
Sile, quick results.
Right.
But you're going to have to retake the exam after 5 years.
It comes down to your priorities and your needs.
Okay. Now, I'm curious about something else.
Yeah.
We talked about how the DETE leans towards Peninsular Spanish.
Right.
Thiel's got the various dialects.
Right.
Does that impact the listening and reading sections of the exams?
That's a really good question.
Because I would imagine, like, if you've learned Spanish mainly in Spain.
Yes.
And then you're listening to someone with a very different accent.
It depends on your exposure to different dialects.
Okay.
If you've mainly learned Spanish from Spain.
Okay.
DELE's focus on that will feel more natural.
Got it.
But if you've been exposed to lots of different dialects, Sile's diverse range might be more familiar.
So, like, for me, I mostly learn from
right.
South American Spanish teachers.
Okay.
Like telenovelas.
Right.
So Sile's variety would be more of an advantage.
It could be.
For me.
Yes.
Because I wouldn't be thrown off by different accents in the listening section.
That's a great observation. Think about your learning journey and where you might use Spanish in the future.
Okay.
If you're planning to work in Argentina, That familiarity with real pretense Spanish
okay.
might be more relevant than the Castilian Spanish emphasized in the DELE.
It's like choosing the right tool for the job.
Right.
You wouldn't use a Phillips head screwdriver when you need a flathead.
Exactly.
So understanding these dialects and these little nuances can really help you pick the exam that's best for you.
Now, remember how we talked about the DELE having wider recognition?
Yeah.
I think it's important to dig a little deeper into what that actually means.
Okay, yeah, because recognition is great.
Yeah.
But what does it actually mean?
Yeah.
Like, practically.
Right.
Like, just because DELE is well known, does that mean every university and employer?
Not necessarily.
Is automatically going to accept it?
Recognition is multifaceted.
Okay.
It's not just about the name recognition.
Okay.
But about who recognizes the certificate.
Okay.
And for what purpose.
Okay, so who recognizes it?
Right.
Are we talking like specific universities?
Yes.
Or types of organizations?
Different institutions have different standards.
Got it.
Some universities might only accept the DELE.
Okay.
Others might be open to SEAL or other certifications.
Okay.
Employers might have specific preferences. So it's crucial to research those requirements.
So don't just assume that DEEL
don't assume
is the golden ticket everywhere.
Exactly.
And then purpose.
Right.
Like if I need this to apply for Spanish citizenship.
Yes.
Would either exam work or is there a specific one?
For Spanish citizenship, often DEEL is the only one they accept.
Okay.
So in those cases,
I got it.
Even if SEAL seems more convenient, the DELE is the only one.
It's the only option.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's more nuanced than just saying one exam is better known.
It is.
About who recognizes it and what you're using it for.
Exactly. Don't make assumptions. Gather the facts.
Right.
And make an informed decision based on your goals.
Got it.
Now I thought it was really fascinating how the sources talked about the philosophy behind each exam.
Okay.
It's like they each have a different personality.
Okay. Beyond like the practical details, like format and dates.
Right.
These exams actually have like different
approaches.
Okay.
What did the sources say about that?
Yeah.
Well, the DELE,
mm-hmm.
with its long history and connection to the Spanish Ministry of Education,
okay.
has a very established, standardized approach.
Got it.
Everything is carefully designed and consistent from the exam format to the scoring criteria.
So the DELE is like the strict but fair teacher who's following all the rules.
Exactly. It's about that precision and consistency.
Got it.
Making sure everyone is assessed against the same standards.
Okay, what about CL?
CLE, being newer,
mm-hmm.
is a bit more flexible, adaptable,
mm-hmm.
while it still rigorously assesses language proficiency. It's more in tune with the dynamic and evolving nature of how languages use.
So Sile's like that cool, understanding teacher.
Right.
Who knows that language is...
alive and changing.
Alive and changing, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
So Sile's use of various dialects, flexible format, focus on communicative competence, really reflects this more adaptable approach.
So someone who really thrives in a structured, predictable environment?
Yeah.
Might, like DL.
Right.
And then someone who's a little more flexible and dynamic.
Exactly.
Might be more into style.
It's about finding that exam that aligns with your personality and learning style.
Got it. Now, you mentioned a few times that seeking expert guidance.
Right.
Can be helpful.
Right.
Especially for choosing a DELE level.
Yes.
Why is that so important?
It's all about making sure you're set up for success.
Okay.
An accredited examiner or a qualified teacher
mm-hmm.
can assess your skills,
okay.
pinpoint your strengths and weaknesses,
okay.
and recommend that most appropriate level for you.
Got it.
They can also offer you personalized study tips to help you prepare.
So it's not just about knowing your level.
No.
It's about getting advice on how to approach the exam itself.
Exactly. Yeah. These experts know the ins and outs of the exams.
Mm.
They can really guide you through the process.
Okay.
Give you feedback.
Yeah.
And help you avoid common pitfalls.
So they're like a coach in your corner guiding you.
Exactly.
To victory.
To victory.
So it sounds like having that expert guidance can make a real difference.
Yeah. It really can.
Especially for a high-stakes exam like the DELE.
Absolutely. And even if you're not taking the DELE, understanding those proficiency levels is still useful for your overall language learning journey.
It's like having a roadmap.
It is.
You know, where you want to go.
Yeah, exactly.
The steps you need to take.
The CEFR, those A1 to C2 levels, provide that framework.
Got it.
For setting goals, tracking your progress.
Okay.
Even choosing learning materials.
Okay. That makes sense. Now, let's talk about something that I think every test taker can relate to.
Okay.
Test anxiety.
Test anxiety.
Yeah, the pressure of exam day can really mess with your head.
It can, and it can impact your performance.
Yeah.
Even if you've prepared well.
So, like, the more confident you feel in your Spanish skills, the less anxious you'll be when you walk into that exam room.
Thorough preparation is one of the best ways to combat those jitters.
It's like the saying, practice makes perfect, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Create a solid study plan.
Okay.
Familiarize yourself with the exam format.
Yeah.
And practice, practice, practice.
Practice makes perfect.
The more comfortable you are with the material and the structure,
okay,
the less intimidating it'll feel.
Okay, so preparation's key.
Preparation is key.
But what about on exam day itself?
Okay.
When those nerves inevitably kick in.
Right.
Any tips for staying calm and focused?
Our sources highlight the importance of self-care.
Okay.
Make sure you're getting enough sleep.
Leading up to the exam, eating healthy.
Okay.
Staying hydrated.
So treat your brain and body well.
Exactly. Give them the fuel they need to perform at their best.
Got it.
Avoid cramming last minute.
Okay.
Because that can actually increase stress and anxiety.
Got it.
And on exam day, try some relaxation techniques.
Okay.
Deep breaths.
Mm-hmm.
Visualize yourself succeeding.
Okay.
Remind yourself that you've prepared well and you've got this.
It's like giving yourself a pep talk.
Exactly.
Okay.
And remember, a little bit of nervousness is normal.
Yeah.
It can keep you alert and focused.
It's about channeling that nervous energy in a positive direction.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, we talked about familiarizing yourself with the exam format.
Right.
How important is that?
It's super important.
Okay.
One of the best ways to get acquainted is to review sample exams.
Okay.
And practice materials.
Got it.
This gives you a sense of the types of questions,
mm-hmm,
the time limits, the structure of the exam.
So it's like taking a practice test drive.
Exactly. Before you hit the open road.
Many exam preparation websites offer sample exams and practice questions.
Okay.
Take advantage of those.
Got it. And it's not just about, like, looking over the materials. I think actually simulating that exam experience.
Absolutely.
Can be really helpful.
Find a quiet space.
Okay.
Set a timer.
Mm-hmm.
And try to recreate those conditions as closely as possible.
Okay.
This will help you get used to the pacing, the pressure, the overall environment.
Yeah.
You're less likely to freeze up on exam day if you've already experienced a similar situation.
It's like dress rehearsal for the big show.
Exactly.
Okay. Now I'm curious about developing effective study habits.
Yes.
Because I personally struggle with procrastination and distractions.
Effective study habits are crucial.
Okay.
For maximizing learning and retaining information.
Yeah.
The sources emphasize setting realistic goals.
Okay.
Creating a study schedule
mm-hmm.
that fits your lifestyle.
Got it.
Don't try to cram everything in at the last minute. Okay, so consistency over cramming.
Consistency over cramming.
It's like training for a marathon.
Yeah.
You wouldn't try to run 26 miles.
Exactly.
The day before the race.
Find a study environment that works for you.
Okay.
A quiet space where you can minimize distractions.
Yeah, I need absolute silence.
Some people focus better in a library. Others prefer the comfort of their own home.
Okay.
Experiment and find what works for you.
Okay, so we've got our space and our schedule.
Right.
But what about like the actual studying?
Right.
Any tips for making the process like more efficient and, dare I say, enjoyable?
Our sources recommend trying out different study techniques to see what clicks for you.
Yeah.
Some people find it helpful to study in short bursts with breaks in between. Others prefer longer study sessions.
Okay.
Experiment with flashcards, visual aids, or even creating your own rhymes or stories to help you remember those challenging concepts.
So it's about finding your own learning rhythm.
It is. And it's okay to ask for help if you're struggling.
Yeah. Reach out to a tutor.
Don't be afraid.
A language partner.
Right.
Someone who's just really good at Spanish.
Sometimes having someone to study with, bounce ideas off of, or clarify confusing concepts can make a big difference.
It's like having a teammate.
It is.
In your language learning game.
A teammate in your corner.
Okay, now let's talk about time management.
Time management.
Because I have definitely had my fair share of exam meltdowns.
Right.
Where I ran out of time.
It happened.
And left questions unanswered.
Time management is crucial.
Okay.
Especially in these exams that assess multiple skills.
Okay.
Our sources stress the importance of pacing yourself.
Got it.
Don't rush through the easy questions.
Yeah.
And then find yourself scrambling for time on the harder ones.
It's like running a race. You don't want to sprint at the beginning.
Right.
And then burn out before the finish line.
Allocate your time wisely.
Okay.
If you get stuck on a question, don't dwell on it.
Hey.
Move on and come back to it later if you have time.
Got it.
It's better to attempt all the questions than to get bogged down on one.
Makes sense.
And miss out on those potential points.
Okay, now both of these exams use a point system.
Right.
But how do they actually grade you?
Right. So with the DEL, the exam is usually divided into sections.
Okay.
Reading, writing, listening, and speaking.
Got it.
Each section is graded separately.
Okay.
And you need to achieve a minimum score in each section.
Okay.
To pass the exam.
So you can't just like ace one section and totally bomb all the others.
You need to be well-rounded.
Yeah, you need to be well-rounded.
Exactly.
Okay.
CLE also uses a point-based system, but it's a little different.
Okay.
You receive a score for each of the four language skills.
Okay.
And those scores are combined to determine your overall proficiency level.
Got it.
From A1 to C2.
So with CLE, you don't necessarily like pass or fail.
Right.
You get a score.
You get a score.
That reflects your level.
Exactly.
Which you can then use for whatever purpose you need it for.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. So we've covered so much ground.
We have.
The nuts and bolts of the exams.
Right.
The importance of preparation, time management.
Yeah.
But I think it's really crucial to talk about the power of mindset.
Minds.
And language learning and exam success.
Absolutely.
Because I know that your attitude and your beliefs can really impact how you approach learning.
Right.
And how you perform under pressure.
Exactly. Our sources emphasize embracing challenges and viewing mistakes as opportunities for growth.
Okay.
Remember, learning a new language is a journey.
Yeah.
It's natural to encounter bumps along the way.
So don't beat yourself up over those mistakes.
Don't. They're stepping stones to progress.
Okay. And celebrate your successes.
Celebrate.
And how small they seem.
Yes. Every step forward, every new word, every conversation. Yeah. It's a victory worth acknowledging.
It's like giving yourself a high five.
Exactly.
For every milestone you reach.
You have to celebrate those ones.
But I think it's really easy to fall into that comparison trap.
Yes.
Especially these days with social media.
It's so easy.
You see people who are like fluent overnight.
Right.
And you're like, what am I doing wrong?
Comparison can be a real motivation killer.
Yeah.
Everyone learns at their own pace.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own strengths and weaknesses.
Totally.
Focus on your own journey.
Okay.
Celebrate your own progress.
Yeah.
And don't let comparison steal your joy.
It's like comparing apples and oranges.
Exactly.
Everyone's different.
Everyone is.
And everyone's language learning journey is different.
It is.
And what about fear of failure?
Fear of failure.
I feel like that holds a lot of people back.
It's a powerful emotion.
Yeah.
But remember, failure is not the opposite of success.
Okay.
It's part of the process.
Okay.
Reframe failure as a learning opportunity.
Got it.
A chance to identify areas for improvement and come back stronger.
Yeah. So it's not about avoiding failure. It's about learning from it.
Exactly.
And using it as fuel to keep going.
And remember, taking a language exam is not about proving your worth.
Right.
It's about demonstrating your skills, challenging yourself, and opening doors to new opportunities.
That's a great perspective.
Thank you.
So cultivating a positive mindset is key. But it's not a one-time thing.
It's not. It's ongoing.
Yeah.
It's choosing to focus on the positive,
mm-hmm.
embracing challenges, celebrating progress, believing in your ability to learn and grow.
It's like developing a mental muscle.
It is.
The more you use it, the stronger it becomes.
The stronger it gets.
Now, I want to go back to something we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
The importance of having clear goals for why you're learning Spanish.
Having a purpose is like having a compass.
Okay.
It guides your language learning journey.
Yeah.
It fuels your motivation.
Okay.
Helps you make strategic study choices. Keeps you focused.
So if you're learning Spanish to travel,
right,
you're probably going to prioritize vocabulary.
Exactly.
Related to like transportation.
Right.
Accommodation.
Accommodation.
Right. Easy.
If you're learning to connect with family members, you're going to focus on phrases for sharing stories, expressing emotions.
Okay.
Building those relationships.
So understanding your why can really make a difference.
A big difference.
In how you approach your studies.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And if you find yourself feeling lost or unmotivated, revisit your goals.
Okay.
Remind yourself why you started.
That's like refueling your language learning engine.
Exactly.
Now, let's be honest. Sometimes language learning can feel like a chore.
It can't.
You're stuck in textbooks.
Right.
You're battling grammar rules.
Right.
Memorizing vocabulary lists.
Endless vocabulary lists.
How do we make language learning fun again?
Our sources highlight
okay.
the importance of finding activities that align with your passions
okay.
and your interests.
Got it.
If you love music, immerse yourself in Spanish music.
Okay.
If you're a foodie,
yeah.
explore Spanish cuisine.
Make it relevant to your life.
Exactly.
And your passions.
Don't limit yourself to traditional methods.
Okay.
Watch movies and TV shows.
Okay.
Read Spanish books and articles.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
Find a language partner to chat with.
Okay.
Online or in person.
So many different options.
The more you enjoy the process,
yeah.
the more likely you are to stick with it.
Right. And actually achieve your goal.
Exactly.
Speaking of sticking with it, how do we maintain motivation over the long haul?
Motivation can be fickle.
It can be.
Our sources suggest setting realistic goals.
Okay.
Breaking them down into smaller steps.
Got it.
Instead of aiming for fluency overnight.
Okay.
Focus on mastering one grammar point.
Got it.
Learning 10 new words each week.
Mm-hmm.
Or having a 5-minute conversation with a native speaker.
So it's about celebrating those small wins.
Absolutely. Those small victories can add up to big progress.
Work.
And when those moments of doubt or frustration come up,
yeah.
connect with other language learners.
Well,
share your experiences, your challenges, your successes
yeah.
with others who understand.
It's like having a cheerleading squad.
It is.
For your language learning journey.
They can pick you up when you fall and celebrate your triumphs.
Yeah, I like that now.
Right.
I think one of the most motivating things is yeah. seeing those tangible results.
Seeing results.
Yeah, like it's one thing to study.
Right.
But it's another thing to actually use it.
Use it in real world situations.
In real world situations. And those experiences can be.
They're rewarding.
Find ways to incorporate Spanish into your daily life.
Okay.
Even if it's just for a few minutes each day.
Got it.
Listen to music while you cook.
Okay.
Watch a show before bed.
Mm-hmm.
Chat with a language partner online.
Okay.
During your lunch break.
And don't be afraid to make those mistakes. Don't be afraid.
The more you use it.
The more comfortable and confident you'll become. The
more comfortable you'll become okay.
Exactly.
Now, we talked about immersion.
Right.
In a general sense. But the sources had some tips.
Right.
For creating those immersive experiences.
Right.
Even if you're not living in a Spanish-speaking country.
Even if you're not.
How do we bring this Spanish-speaking world into our lives?
Create a Spanish-speaking environment.
Okay.
Right in your own home.
Okay. How?
Label objects with their Spanish names.
Got it.
Listen to Spanish radio or podcasts
mm-hmm.
while you do chores.
Okay.
Change the language settings on your phone
yeah.
and computer to Spanish.
Surround yourself with language.
Surround yourself.
Okay.
And if you're a visual learner,
yeah.
watch movies and TV shows with subtitles.
Okay.
Read books and magazines.
Mm-hmm.
Follow Spanish-speaking influencers on social media.
Build your own little Spanish-speaking world.
Exactly.
Okay, now I want to talk about pronunciation.
Pronunciation.
Because it's one thing to understand the words.
Yes.
But actually saying them correctly
right.
can be a whole other challenge.
It can be.
Especially for me.
Our sources emphasize active listening and imitation.
Okay.
Pay attention to how native speakers pronounce words
mm-hmm.
and try to mimic their sounds.
It's like learning a song by ear.
It is.
You listen carefully.
Right.
And then you try to reproduce those sounds yourself.
And don't be shy about recording yourself.
Okay.
And listening back.
Oh, yeah. That could be awkward.
It can feel awkward.
Yeah.
But it's a great way to identify areas where you can improve.
That's like having your own personal pronunciation coach.
It is.
In your pocket.
And there are tons of resources online that can help.
Okay.
Videos, audio dictionaries, interactive exercises.
Got it.
Use them
okay.
and ask a native speaker or a teacher for feedback.
Okay, so embrace that feedback.
Embrace the feedback.
And see it as an opportunity.
Yes.
To fine-tune your pronunciation.
Absolutely.
Now, grammar. I know some people find it really exciting.
Right.
Other people find it very boring.
Right.
But I feel like it's really essential.
It is.
For language learning success.
It is the backbone of any language. It
yeah.
provides the structure mm-hmm. and the rules
yeah.
that allow us to communicate effectively.
Right.
Without it, your language skills will always feel shaky.
It's like trying to build a house without a blueprint.
Exactly.
So how do we go about mastering Spanish grammar?
Find a learning method that works for you.
Okay.
Some people thrive with textbooks.
Mm-hmm.
Others prefer a more interactive approach.
Okay.
The key is to experiment.
We've got so many different resources.
We do. We've got courses,
apps, textbooks.
And remember, grammar doesn't have to be boring.
Yeah, I feel like
there are creative and engaging ways to learn it.
Yeah.
Watch grammar-focused videos.
Okay.
Play interactive games. Mm-hmm. Create your own flashcards.
Okay. Okay, to make it fun.
Make it fun.
And personalize it.
Personalize it to your learning style.
No, vocabulary. Vocabulary.
Just as crucial.
Just as crucial.
That's grammar.
It is like the currency of language.
Yeah.
The more words you know,
yeah.
the richer your communication can be.
But memorizing those endless vocabulary lists
right.
can be so tedious.
They can.
Okay, how do we escape this?
Our sources emphasize learning vocabulary in context.
Okay.
Instead of memorizing isolated words, try to encounter new words
mm-hmm.
in meaningful sentences and situations.
Got it.
Read books.
Okay.
Watch movies.
Yeah.
Listen to music.
Yeah.
Have conversations.
It's about experiencing the language.
Exactly.
In action.
Not just studying it in isolation.
Not just studying it.
And when you do need to memorize those lists, use flashcards.
Mm-hmm.
Create visual aids.
Okay.
Come up with silly rhymes.
Rhymes or stories.
Or stories to help you remember.
Make it memorable. Make it memorable.
Okay.
And don't underestimate repetition.
Okay.
Review regularly to reinforce that learning.
So consistency is key.
Consistency is key.
When it comes to vocabulary.
For vocabulary acquisition.
Okay. Now let's talk about establishing a regular study routine.
A study routine.
I know routine can sound really boring.
It can.
But I feel like it's the secret sauce for success.
It is. Consistency is crucial for making progress.
Okay.
Just like any skill.
Yeah.
Regular practice is essential.
Okay.
So find a time of day that works for you
mm-hmm.
and schedule your study sessions.
Got it.
Like you would any other important appointment.
Treat language learning with the same level of commitment.
Exactly.
That you would your work meeting or your doctor's appointment.
And it's okay to start small.
Okay.
Even 15 minutes each day can make a big difference.
Got it.
And don't be afraid to adjust as needed.
Life happens.
Life happens.
So find a routine that works for you.
Right.
And stick to it as much as possible.
As much as possible.
Okay, now let's go back to finding a language partner.
A language partner.
I think this can be really helpful.
It can be so beneficial.
Okay.
It provides motivation,
mm-hmm.
accountability.
Yeah.
And most importantly, opportunities for a conversation practice.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So where do we find these magical language partners?
Our sources suggest language exchange websites, online language learning communities, or asking around at local language schools.
Local language schools.
Or cultural centers.
Got it.
Yeah.
And once you found your partner,
right.
any tips for making the most of that experience?
Communication is key.
Okay.
Set clear expectations and goals.
Mm-hmm.
Decide how often you want to meet.
Okay.
What topics you want to discuss.
Yeah.
What language skills you want to focus on.
Okay.
And be respectful of each other's time and learning styles.
Okay.
Come prepared
with
questions, topics, and activities.
It's like a language learning partnership agreement. Now I want to talk about the fear of making mistakes.
Oh, the fear of making mistakes.
Because I think this holds back a lot of language learners.
So common.
Including myself.
But mistakes are not the enemy.
Okay.
They are valuable learning opportunities.
So shift your perspective and see them as stepping stones.
Exactly.
Okay.
And remember, even native speakers make mistakes.
They do.
It's part of being human.
That's a comforting thought.
Right.
Okay, now before we wrap up, I want to touch on self-care.
Self-care.
Yeah, because
this is so important.
This whole process.
It can be mentally and emotionally demanding.
It can be.
So it's essential to prioritize self-care.
Okay.
Make sure you're not neglecting your well-being.
So get enough sleep, eat well, stay hydrated.
Exactly.
Take breaks when you need them.
And don't underestimate stress-reducing activities.
Okay.
Exercise, meditation, spending time in nature.
Taking care of your well-being is like giving your language learning journey a solid foundation.
It is.
Well, I think we've covered just about everything.
I think we have.
We've explored Dili and Sili.
We have.
Tackled the challenges of learning a new language.
Yes.
And hopefully empowered you to make a decision.
Yes.
About which exam is right for you.
And remember, no matter what you choose, enjoy the journey, celebrate the progress, and never stop learning.
Beautifully said. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure.
Into the world of Spanish language learning. Hasta la próxima.